All right, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10. We'll pick up where we left off. The big idea for tonight is kingdom people are blessed when faithfulness to Christ brings opposition. Take a look at our text. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, there's something that is ingrained in all of us that likes to be liked. Most people don't wake up in the morning, at least I don't, and say, I sure do hope somebody misunderstands me today. I really hope somebody before lunch, will roll their eyes at me. Or I really hope I get criticized before I can get home today. I mean, that's just not where our mind goes. So we as individuals, we like approval. We like being accepted. We like peace. We like to be well thought of. And if we're honest, sometimes that desire to be liked can become so strong that it begins to shape our obedience. We start softening what God has said. We start staying quiet when we should speak. And we start blending in when we were called to stand out. I heard about a gentleman, heard the story, preacher. Years ago, I was sitting under this preacher. First ministry position that I held, and he told the story that he prayed, "Lord, open a door for me to speak for you today." And when he got to work, he sat down in the break room, and one of his coworkers looked at him and he said, "You go to church, don't you?" And he said, "Well, yes, sir, I do." And he said, "Well, tell me something. Do you really believe all that about creation and Noah's Ark and all those things?" And the man said, "I knew right then the Lord had opened the door. I was just hoping he'd opened a different one." So that's the way it often feels. We want to be faithful, but we don't want any friction. We want that conviction. But we don't want any cost that's associated with it. Deep down, we want to follow Jesus, but we do not want to be treated the way that Jesus was treated. And yet, when Jesus here is preaching his message on the Beatitudes, that is exactly where he's headed here. He doesn't end, if you remember, he doesn't end this, if you've read ahead, he doesn't end this with people applauding Jesus at this sermon. He ended with opposition. So think about the progression that we've seen. This is our week four. Been here for 4 weeks. It doesn't feel like we have, but here we are. Our progression, we've seen, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. And blessed are the peacemakers. And just when you think that a life like that would be perfectly, universally admired, and if everybody was living that life, and you would think that nobody would have anything bad to say about them, Jesus says then, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and they persecute you and they say all kinds of evil about you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who even were before you. And Jesus was teaching something very vital here, that life that is blessed by heaven will not always be applauded here on earth. The world likes religion as long as it stays like a decoration. And the world likes spirituality as long as it stays vague. It doesn't go into the absolutes of this is wrong, this is right. Black and whites, the world likes it if it stays in that gray area. The world likes morality as long as it stays flexible. But when somebody humbly, cheerfully, joyfully belongs to Jesus, he will not bend where God has spoken. And that's where the resistance starts. So Jesus says, when that happens, remember, you are not forgotten. You are not outside the blessing of God when you start getting this opposition. You are blessed. And so tonight I want to preach right there. Blessed are the bold. Blessed are the bold. Not bold in a personality. Not loud just for the sake of being loud. Not mean in calling it courage. Not rude. But bold in the sense that you belong to Jesus so deeply and you love him so fully and so truly that when opposition comes, when those fights come to you, you do not back away. You stand your ground. And so I'll pray with us tonight. Lord, I ask that you bless the reading of your scripture and this preaching of your word and teaching. And God, I ask that you bind the enemy that he may not snatch any seed that would be planted here tonight. God, for we need this. We need this encouragement from your word tonight. Lord, I ask that you remove any distraction that we would have that would take our focus away from your word. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So let me set the context here. Matthew is presenting Jesus as the king. He is shown, in Matthew, he is shown his lineage, his birth, his baptism, his triumph over temptation there in the wilderness when Satan comes to him to tempt him. And then we start to see the beginnings of his public ministry. And Jesus had called disciples. If you remember, we talked about this either last week or the week before. And he gathered, Jesus just didn't talk. He had actions with the words. He ministered to the crowds. He healed the sick. And he preached. If you remember Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus' message was exactly what John the Baptist was. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so now in chapter 5, the king has shown up and he's climbed the mountain and he has sat down and he begins to teach his people what kingdom life looks like. So these Beatitudes are not a little detached sayings that ends up. I remember when my mom had a back in the 80s, I remember this, the needlepoint cross-stitch type thing, and it had the Beatitudes all hanging on the wall. Some of y'all may have that, but the Beatitudes are not just meant to be cross-stitched on a display or in a pillow. They're a portrait of what the transformed life looks like. If you want to reach people for Christ, this is the blueprint. This is how you start looking different than the world does. And so these Beatitudes, they progress. Remember, poverty of spirit leads to mourning over sin. And mourning over sin then produces the meekness that he's talking about. And then meekness creates a hunger for righteousness within you. And then those that receive mercy, they become merciful toward others. And then the purified heart begins to seek God's ways clearly. And then the peacemaker carries the character of the king into a broken world. And now Jesus says, when you live like that, some are going to rejoice, some are going to be so happy, but others will resist. And this means that persecution is not always an interruption of kingdom living. Sometimes it is the evidence that you're living it. I'll say that again. Sometimes the persecution is not just an interruption of your everyday walk. Sometimes it's evidence that you're right where you need to be. My first point tonight is faithfulness to Christ will bring opposition. Not if, and, or, but it will. It will bring opposition. And so Matthew chapter 5 verse 10 at the beginning of that verse says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Jesus does not say blessed are those if they are persecuted. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted. So he speaks like this is an expected reality. Now let's talk about persecution for a second. Not all hardship that we face is persecution. Sometimes people are disliked, maybe because they're abrasive. Sometimes they are corrected because maybe they're arrogant. Sometimes they create tension because they have confused fleshly harshness with spiritual boldness. A person is not being persecuted because nobody enjoys their bad attitude. So Jesus is very specific here. He's not just talking about a hardship every now and again. He is talking about for righteousness' sake. So that phrase matters. This opposition that comes because a person is living in submission to God. This is pressure that comes because your life is lined up to God's truth. It's a resistance that comes because the righteousness irritates rebellion. So let's remember that light exposes darkness. Truth disturbs falsehoods that are claimed. And holiness will always trouble worldliness. So sometimes you don't even have to say much. Sometimes your very presence becomes a conviction. I'll speak to this because I know it firsthand and heard it firsthand. And I'll give my dad some flowers, okay? My dad's probably one of the most godly men that I have ever known in my life. And I don't say that lightly because I have served with and know a lot of good godly men. And music minister that was in another church there in Elizabethton, where I was serving a few years back, he actually was bivocational, and he actually worked with my dad on the job. And so at a association meeting that we had, his name was Forney, and Forney came up to me, and Forney said, I want to tell you something. Do you know how good a dad you have? I said, well, yeah, I know. He's pretty good. And he said, let me tell you how good a dad you have. He said, we work with some of the roughest, nastiest mouth people in Carter County. And they're just rough around the edges. He said, but your dad, only thing your dad has to do is walk into the break room. Walk into the break, he said, and all of that stops. Because they know what the man lives. They know what he gives of himself to his family, to his church, and they respect that. And so when I was reading this, I couldn't help but think of my dad, who I'd heard that not. I had seen it with my own eyes. I'd lived it. I lived with him. But then I seen other people notice that. So it's absolutely true. Sometimes you don't have to say much. Your very presence, sometimes if you're living these Beatitudes, become a conviction, becomes a witness, a reflection of Christ to those around you. Sometimes nobody has to preach a sermon. Nobody has to pound the pulpit. The situation that you can just be in a room and love and it just pour out of you can show Jesus to those around you. Because righteousness has a way of exposing what darkness wants hidden. And Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So that can happen in the world, and it can happen in the church culture too. Sometimes the world opposes righteousness. And sometimes religious people oppose righteousness. And sometimes church folks get bothered by genuine holiness because it exposes how comfortable they have become in their own sin. And you can sometimes be called too serious. You can be called too narrow. Maybe you can even be called too old-fashioned. Maybe you can be called too radical, too intense. Not because you're acting ugly, but because your obedience simply makes somebody else uncomfortable. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those that are persecuted in this way, for righteousness' sake." In other words, if your obedience to Christ creates friction, do not automatically assume that something has gone wrong. Something may have gone very, very, very right. So if you're in that workplace and nobody wants to share a dirty joke with you, good. Good. There's a Greek word that is used here for persecuted. It's a verb, de diogmenoi. My pronunciation may be horrible there, but I tried. The word is translated persecuted, and it carries the idea of being pursued, pressed, chased, harassed. And it's not always prison bars. Sometimes it's on just ongoing pressure. Sometimes it's repeated resistance, a constant pushback. And that matters because some of God's people think, well, if I've never been thrown in jail, this text here does not apply to me. If I've never been, my life been threatened, this must be talking about somebody that is out on the mission field. Well, it absolutely is for that. But it applies to your faithfulness. Because sometimes faithfulness will cost you socially. Sometimes your convictions will cost you even relationally. And sometimes it applies when you're standing with Christ and it makes life harder. So some of you may be feeling tension right now. At work, you may be laughed at because you don't accept what is wicked. At school, you may not go along with what dishonors Christ. In family, it may be because you're no longer willing to pretend that truth does not matter. And even in church life, maybe because you want to pursue substance and holiness and not just a surface religion that doesn't mean anything. So I would encourage you not to hear your Savior. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not cursed, not forgotten, not outside the will of God, but blessed. Blessed. Righteous living will always rub an unrighteous world the wrong way. I'm going to have to hurry. I have almost run out of time, so y'all just buckle up, all right? So my second point tonight is this. Real issue is loyalty to Jesus. Look at verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And verse 10 says, for righteousness' sake. Verse 11 says, for my sake. You see the distinction there? So Jesus is tying righteousness directly to himself. That means biblical righteousness is not just morals. It's not just trying harder. It's not just being nice. Biblical righteousness is rooted in loyalty to Jesus Christ himself. So when somebody opposes the believer for his faithfulness, the deepest issue is not personal disagreement. The deepest issue, what's rubbing them the wrong way, is Christ himself. And Jesus gets very personal here. He says, blessed are you. And so the Lord now turns from the general to the specific. From those, remember he says, we've seen blessed are those. Remember we keep seeing that in the promises. Well, now it turns to you. And he describes three forms of opposition. Reviling. Persecuting. And slander. So, blessed are you when they revile. What does revile mean? That's not a word we use a lot in the English language today. But revile means an insult, a mockery, reproach. It's a verbal attack. And so, that is when people mock your convictions. When they character your faith. They talk down to you as though devotion to Christ is some type of weakness or it's backwards. I'll give you some examples of what reviling is. Maybe a teenager mocked because she will not compromise her purity. Reviling is maybe a young man laughed at because he believes marriage is what God says it is between one man and one woman. Or a worker maybe even dismissed from a job because he will not bend the truth. Or maybe a believer that's labeled judgmental simply because she believes the Bible means what it says. That's what reviling is. And then we see persecuting. He says, and persecute you. So this, remember we talked about this. This goes beyond words into pressure and mistreatment. Maybe persecution can take quieter forms, being passed over because your convictions are inconvenient. Or maybe being excluded because your presence makes people feel uncomfortable. And then let's look at the third one, slander. He says, they say, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. So this one stings. It's one thing to be rejected, but it's another one to be lied about. And notice Jesus also says here, falsely. So you can't claim slander if you're being confronted in a true sin. But this is not people telling the truth about your real sin. This is people inventing motives or twisting words and assigning evil to what is actually obedience. So sometimes the pain is not just that people reject your convictions, it's that they rewrite your character. And so we shouldn't expect any less. Did they not do the same thing to Jesus? They called him a blasphemer. They called him demon-possessed. Y'all remember this? They twisted his words. They questioned his motives. They hated his holiness. And so if the world has done that to a perfect and holy Savior, the greatest thing that's ever happened, personhood that's ever happened to this face of the planet, if they did that to him who lived a perfect life, should we not be shocked when the world mishandles us? Jesus said in John 15:20, "Remember the word that I have said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." So church, we've got to settle this in our heart. And if you've not heard anything I say, listen to this. If you live like Jesus, don't be shocked when the world treats you like it treated him. You can do everything in the right spirit and still be opposed if you're faithful to him. And if Jesus himself was hated, faithfulness does not guarantee universal approval. My third point is this: kingdom people must not measure blessing by earthly comfort. He says, Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are you." Again, let's stop that word again. Blessed, blessed. Because everything in us wants to say the opposite. We say, blessed are the popular. Blessed are the accepted. Blessed are the admired. Blessed are the comfortable. And Jesus said, blessed are those that are persecuted. That turns worldly thinking completely upside down. In other words, the favor of God cannot be measured merely by the ease of your circumstances. That is important because many believers have unconsciously bought into the idea that if God is pleased with me, everything should go smoothly. But that's not the testimony of Scripture. Let's look back just a second. Joseph was faithful and he ended up in a pit. Daniel was faithful. He ended up in a lion's den. The Hebrew boys were faithful. They ended up in a furnace. Paul was faithful. He ended up beaten, in prison, killed. Jesus was perfectly faithful and ended up on a cross. So difficulty that we experience in this Christian walk is not proof of disobedience. Opposition is not proof of God's absence. Hardship is not proof that God's blessing has stopped. And sometimes the will of God leads straight into the fire. That'll help somebody tonight. Maybe God is saying to you right now, maybe you're questioning, where's God leading me right now? What direction I need to take? God, this road looks perilous. And I encourage you tonight, obey him. Obey him. God will see you through. God will see you through. I'm going to pick up there next week. I'm not going to hold you any longer because we got like 7 more points to go. There's a lot in these 2 verses. So tonight, maybe some of you need to ask the Lord to forgive maybe some compromise that you've had in your life. Maybe you've been too quiet because you've wanted approval. Maybe you've softened the truth because you feared that rejection that we hate as human beings. Maybe you've measured God's blessing on you by how comfortable you are and how easy a road that you have it. So I'm going to ask that tonight that you ask God to steady your heart. Maybe some of you are hurting because you have paid the price for following Jesus. Maybe you've been misunderstood. Maybe you've been talked about. Maybe you've been dismissed. Maybe you've been pressured. So I would ask you tonight to hear your King And your king says, blessed are you. Blessed are you. And maybe there's somebody here tonight who has never trusted Christ at all. You cannot stand for a king that you do not know. But Jesus died for your sins, and He rose again, and He will save any sinner that will accept Him in repentance and faith. What does repentance mean? That means that you see your sin, you see where you're in, you turn around and you don't look at it again, you walk away from it. That's what repentance is. So I ask you tonight to come to Christ, belong to Him, and by grace stand for Him. If I could have our musicians come. You can stand with me. This altar is open for anyone that would need to come and pray and seek God's face tonight. If you need special prayer, I'm here. We'll gather a team around you and we'll pray. This time is yours tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all.
Minds, hearts, and consciences clear. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. This is a good word. Good word. Anyone else? If so, Brother Keith Boyd, will you dismiss us tonight?